Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and we are back with our veterinary voice, Dr. Marty Greer, and we are talking about a topic that has really kind of, I'm going to say, burst onto the scene recently.
Well,
for me anyway, I had not really heard of it, but the concept of cognitive dysfunction syndrome in dogs. So not just they're getting old and a little confused, right?
Right. It is different than that. Mm-hmm.
So tell us more about it. This is like specifically neurobehavioral. Tell us about this. Tell us what we're going to see. Tell us some of the ways we can work with it, work around it, prevent it maybe.
Sure. So contrary to your experience, my experience is a lot longer with this.
Right.
About 20 years ago, we got contacted by a drug company. At the time, it was Deprenyl Animal Health, which then became Pfizer, which then became Zoetis. Okay. We were invited to be part of a clinical trial in a drug trial using selegiline, which came to market as Anapril. So Anapril is the only licensed, tested drug that's utilized for cognitive dysfunction. It's labeled for use in dogs. It has also been used in cats, and I don't want to lose cats in this discussion, even though it's a dog talk.
Okay.
But it's an important piece of what we understand about the physiology of the brain and aging. It was not a new drug. It was used for a number of years in humans for Parkinson's disease, but it was being used for canine cognitive dysfunction as well as an application for hyperadrenal corticism or Cushing's disease in the dog. So it has two labeled uses. But around the same time, Hill's, the prescription diet, Hill's prescription and science diet people, produced a diet, came to market, or were trialing a diet called BD, B as in boy, B as in behavior, B as in brain.
Right.
That was also useful for dogs that had cognitive dysfunction. So we actually were involved in both clinical trials. We had 10 dogs in the drug trial, 10 dogs in the diet trial, and they were double-blinded studies, so they were done scientifically with us as one of the clinical test sites, but certainly not the only one that was in the U.S. So it was a fascinating opportunity to look at cognitive dysfunction in the dog, and one that we learned a great deal in. So it's been a long time ago that this came to market. And unfortunately, I don't think that cognitive dysfunction is adequately recognized by owners or by veterinarians, according to the reading I was doing. Very few dogs, only 1.9% of the dogs that clients perceive to have a problem are actually diagnosed by their veterinarian with cognitive dysfunction. And it's probably even a smaller number in cats, in spite of the fact that, according to client surveys, up to 14% of clients are aware that their dog has changes that would be classified as canine cognitive dysfunction or cognitive dysfunction syndrome, if you want to be more inclusive and include the cats as well.
Fascinating. Okay, so let's start at the top. What am I going to see? I've got a 11-year-old wire hair pointer bitch laying on my couch. What am I, you know, what am I going to see if this is something that she's experiencing?
Sure. And a lot of people, because they're familiar with human cognitive dysfunction like Alzheimer's, will start to recognize some of these changes. And there's some really great websites out there. I sent you a link to a chart that you can look at. Unfortunately, it's published for a clinic in Australia, but it's still a useful tool because it has a way that you can scale how significant the disorders or the changes that you're seeing are on a scale of 1 to 5.
Right.
So you've got a better idea of exactly how pronounced the syndromes are. But in short, they're abbreviated as DISH, disorientation, interaction with family members, sleep and activity, and house training. Mm-hmm. So you can break those down. Disorientation is going to include pacing, wandering aimlessly, forgetting that they went outside to urinate or have a stool. Mm-hmm. So they'll come back in and do that. They'll be less interactive with other humans. They have a harder time learning. They literally get lost in a corner. You open the door for them to go outside, and they stand in the corner where the hinge is instead of at the opening of the door to go out. So people start to notice things like that. It's pretty disturbing. Interaction with family members is the I piece. So they're less interactive. They play less, not only with people, but with other pets in the house. They don't explore as much. They don't tolerate being left alone as well. So they start to develop some changes that may be similar to separation anxiety.
Mm.
sleep and activity, they sleep more during the day, less at night. There's sundowning, similar to what is seen in people. And in cats, dogs will bark, but cats will vocalize, and this is one of the most significant changes that we have clients coming in with. They'll complain that the cat is up all night yowling when they never used to do that when they were younger.
Mm.
So then you wonder, you know, if the cat is in pain or if it's disoriented or
right.
if it's got hypertension, you know, what other things might be going on. And then house training, whether it's a cat failing to use the litter box mm. as effectively as they did before, or dogs that forget to go outside, or when they're outside, forget to go, and then they come back in and go. So those are the DISH, disorientation, interaction with family members, sleep and activity, and house training. Those are the four broad categories of changes that clients may recognize or see and start to wonder if this is something. And unfortunately, I think a lot of veterinarians don't really fully appreciate the significance of that. And it's a huge change in the human-animal bond. It starts to become really wearing on clients to have the dog having accidents in the house or forgetting to go out or simply not interacting. When you come in the door after a long day at work, the dog doesn't come charging to the door
right.
and greet you with the enthusiasm that they used to. So there's a fracturing of that human-animal bond that starts to take place. Some clients are very tolerant of it. You know, they're great caregivers and they're able to manage the dogs with potty pads or diapers
mm-hmm.
or changes that, you know, have a dog walker come in during the day. You know, some people can manage it. And frankly, some clients cannot. And it's
mm-hmm.
not always their fault. It's sometimes just their life circumstance that it's just not a dog that they are able to manage at home anymore. So it makes it very difficult for some of our clients to manage these guys so that they can stay in a happy household.
Right.
And it's very frustrating. So I do want clients to know that there are treatment options available.
Absolutely. And, you know, you were talking earlier about your trials that you were involved with and we've seen come to market. I'm familiar with the Purina, the Bright Mind. But,
right.
you know, you listed some of the others in the material you sent. So let's talk maybe a little bit about things that you can do to prevent this coming on. And then some of the things we can use to deal with it once it's arrived, yeah?
Right. And so the prevention piece can certainly start with diet. There are three companies that make prescription diets, Purina, Hill's, and Royal Canin. All three of them have a diet that's appropriate for the aging dog. We don't have an equivalent diet in the cat. So there are some things we can talk about with that. But Purina came to market about a year and a half ago with a product called NeuroCare on the prescription line and Bright Minds on the over-the-counter line. So you can purchase those through either your veterinarian, through some of the websites with a prescription, or at the pet stores and the other places. So Bright Minds is readily available. It's also been shown to reduce the risk of seizures. So it's a great diet to be looking at when you have a dog that might start to be aging, or you might start to see just the earliest changes. It's not anything really significant, but it's starting to show up. Hill's BD was the first to market, and like I said, they've been on the market for probably, I'd have to look back, but probably easily 15 years they've been on the market with their BD diet. That's
mm-hmm.
the one we did the clinical trial with. And then Royal Canin has a couple of aging dog diets as well. The Hill's BD is the one I have the most experience with, so that's the one I can speak to because one of my dogs was in the group of 10 dogs that we used as a clinical trial here in our practice in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So we selected 10 dogs that all had changes that were suggestive of cognitive dysfunction based on the list of symptoms that are readily published. And we were sent 10 bags of food, all of them white, all of them with the same label on them, other than a code on it, and I was not allowed to see what food was what. I didn't even feed my dog. I had a 13-year-old corgi, and I didn't even want to look at the kibble because I didn't want to know if
right.
I could figure out if she was on the prescription diet or not. So
right.
I completely blinded myself as well. So my husband took over feeding. I never saw the kibble. And, of course, with a corgi, that's not hard because they eat their food so fast that it's only in the dish for seconds.
Exactly.
So it wasn't, you know, like I was changing my relationship with the dog.
Right.
So within 30 days, we had five clients that came back in the first 30 days on the food. One of them walked in the door, threw her arms around me, and said, "You've given me my old dog back."
Aww.
So it was a huge change for her. I noticed my dog, she changed. I showed her for national that year in the senior class, and she won her class at the National for the corgis.
Mm.
So I was pretty excited about that because she looked and acted like she was 8 or 9 again, certainly not like she was 13. And one of the other clients had a basset hound that was actually blind from glaucoma, and she put her dog in the clinical trial. The dog improved so much that she stopped being my client. She stopped being a veterinary technician at the university in Wisconsin in their research department, sold her house, moved her husband and her dogs to Topeka, Kansas, so she could work for Hills.
Wow.
So
wow.
She was so blown away by this remarkable improvement just based on nutrition that she literally upended her whole life. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait, yeah. You're leaving? You're moving?
That's incredible.
So she literally sold everything and moved to Topeka to work for Hills. So it's a pretty tremendous transformation that we saw in the dogs. And it was no question. I mean, the dogs that were on the food, even though it was blinded, like I said, they were white bags with, you know, this kibble in it that wasn't identified other than by a code. The five dogs that were on it, the clients, every single client saw a huge change in their dog's behavior on a nutritional change alone. And, you know, you have to feed your dog anyway, so you might as well feed them something that's going to be appropriate. And the newer products for the market are also great, and some of the things that they do, and what people need to know is that there's no drug in these diets. They're all based on nutrition. So they've put in antioxidants like vitamins A, C, and E. They've put in medium-chain triglycerides, which also help with brain metabolism and reduce some of the oxidative stress that's seen in aging and changing. Mm. There's a few other things they put in, like L-carnitine to keep their muscle mass good and to keep them from getting too heavy. And then there's a few other nutritional ingredients that they've also changed, like SAMe and some other things. Mm-hmm. So they've all done this with just nutrition, with just an appropriate balance of nutrients. And I think every day I should probably eat a bowl of BD instead of eating a bowl of pasta, because it's probably better for my brain. But I haven't been able to manage that yet.
Oh my gosh. You know, I think we could do an entire podcast on how it would be if people were fed and conditioned and taken care of the way our dogs are.
Yeah, because they're certainly better nourished in a lot of cases than we are.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I don't disagree with that. So treatment one is basically nutrition. DHA is one of the ingredients as well that seems to be useful in aging, both for arthritis and brain function. So there's some things that you can do over the counter, but you know, I certainly think adding DHA is reasonable, but it's a very practical thing to do is just go out and start buying one of the prescription diets, whether you're seeing early changes or you have concerns about your dog's aging and you just want to kind of get ahead of it so that you can prevent it. Then, you know, we can certainly talk about drugs, and there are marketed nutritional supplements that are on the market. The thing with most of those is that they don't have any good science behind them.
Right.
They're using information from other sources or they're making some assumptions, but most of the nutritional supplements that you go out and buy other than DHA don't have any specific claims that they can make, because nutritional supplements don't require those to be on the market.
Okay.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute. I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. Yeah, I know. I promised I was never going to sing again, but I'm saying, our new audiobook is available now. Whoop! Yeah! Pure Dog Talks, How to Stack Your Dog and Other Important Talks, is a 2-CD set featuring early mentoring episodes from the podcast, tips, and previously unrecorded pep talks. This is a power-packed opportunity for folks who don't want to search our exhaustive 260-some-odd episode library for just the topic they're looking for. This 2-hour series is a great resource for breeders and mentors, 4-H leaders, anybody that's looking for a straight-line trajectory from what kind of dog should I get to raising a show dog, how to stack and move with your dog, to counting championship points for your new dog. Super easy to purchase. Just drop PayPal $25 a book to Laura at puredogtalk.com and make sure audiobook is in the comments and that your mailing address is included, because shipping is free. That's on me. And I'll have it to you in just a few days. Breeder and mentor bundles are available. I'll give you a 10% discount on 5 or more. And this is a very limited print run. So get your order in today. May not be here tomorrow. So I'm not sure that we really touched on, and I want to stick this in here, the actual cause of this. Like, what is the body or the brain, or what is actually happening inside the animal's system that's causing this to happen, that then is able to be treated with nutrition and some of these other things we're talking about?
Right. And what it looks like, according to the science, and this is beyond the scope of what I do in private practice, But the thoughts are that they're similar to what Alzheimer's happens, and that's the beta amyloid accumulation, the tau phosphorylation, and the neuronal loss in the frontal cortex, cerebellum, and hippocampus. So there are definitely physiologic changes that take place, pathology that takes place in the brain that contribute to this. And a lot of these are very similar to Alzheimer's, which is one of the reasons that there have been some support, some research behind it, because there is some application for this. So I usually go up and ask the nutritionists that work for Purina, Hill's, and Royal Canin, so what nutrients do you add to your diet? Now that you have this research, what do you know that would be helpful to me so that I can improve my brain function?
Right.
So I do take DHA, I take my antioxidants, I do all those things to try and improve my capacity to stay smart for as long as possible, as smart as I can be as long as possible.
Right. Oh my gosh. Okay, so what are some of the things, and you have them in here, that I think are kind of important to talk about, things that owners can do to potentially prevent this from becoming an issue for their dog?
Sure. And, you know, good social interaction and routines and continuing to keep your dogs challenge mentally, like the dog puzzles and those kinds of things, I think are going to be shown to be pretty useful. Keeping their day-night cycle regular too, including sunlight, so making sure that there's sun in the room where they are during the daytime so that they don't close the blinds or, you know, close the shades or something so that you kind of alter their sleep-wake cycle. Mm. You may need to keep them out and keep them exercising and those types of things. If they start to develop anxiety, there are certainly anxiety drugs that are appropriate that can be used, not necessarily all the time, but intermittently, reducing stress in their life. And then, of course, there's the comments here that you'll read online about avoiding unnecessary vaccines and skipping pharmaceuticals when possible, which I think should be done as a general rule anyway.
Right.
You know, why would you put your dog on a drug that they didn't need, or why would you vaccinate your dog for something that we have a pretty good handle on, the fact that we have longer and longer effects from the vaccines, we get better immunity long-term because we have better vaccines on the market. So we should be working with veterinarians that are open to the three-year protocol or titers and those other things to try and reduce over-vaccination. So we don't have a direct cause and effect with that, but any time that you can avoid an unnecessary product or an unnecessary vaccination would be appropriate. But the environmental enrichment, keeping them engaged, keeping them social, just because they're not puppies anymore doesn't mean that they don't need to still go to a daycare periodically or that you have friends over and, you know, do things with the dogs so that they stay engaged and interactive. And so if it's hiking or if it's, you know, friends, whatever you want to do with the dog, just to keep them engaged and keep them from becoming socially withdrawn. And the same thing happens in people. And in fact, they know in humans for Alzheimer's that people tend to develop more dementia when they have hearing loss because they're no longer interacting and conversational with people as easily.
Right.
Their hearing isn't as good. So recognizing that your dog may have hearing loss and recognizing that there are things that you can do to continue to interact with the dog, even if they don't hear you walk in the door, that you still want to go over and wake them and things like that. But again, being aware that some of the dogs with cognitive dysfunction will have some increased irritability either with you or with other pets in the household and may be more likely to kind of snap or not respond normally. Number one, they're irritable. Number two, if they don't hear you coming or see you coming because they've got some sensory loss, then you need to be gentle with them when you go over and start to wake them or make sure that the other puppy in the house doesn't go over and jump on them.
Right.
Yeah. So you do want to do some protection so that the older dog doesn't end up injured. And of course, they're going to be arthritic, so they're going to have a little bit more likelihood of having what normally wouldn't have bothered them when the 40-pound puppy jumps on them, that it might be more painful for them. So we need to recognize that. The other important thing is to not over-diagnose cognitive dysfunction or feline dysfunction. So you recognize if there's a thyroid problem that may be causing some changes in their behavior or their activity.
Mm-hmm.
They may have a urinary tract infection, so don't assume that they've just forgotten that they're housebroken, but take them in and make sure that they don't have a UTI that's smoldering and you're not aware of. Many older patients, whether they're human, dog, or cat, will end up with urinary tract infections as they age more easily than they did when they were young. They may have a loss of vision and hearing, so be aware of those. Make sure that they're not diabetic or having kidney problems, which would be why they'd be urinating more frequently. We see a lot of patients that come in that are drinking more, urinating more. They're not necessarily diabetic, but it may be an early change causing kidney disease.
Mm-hmm.
And associated with kidney disease is hypertension. So if you don't appropriately diagnose and treat the kidney disease or the hypertension associated with it, you're going to end up with more rapid changes than you would need to. And we put lots of dogs and cats on hypertension medication at this point. So we see a lot of those, and there are better products on the market all the time. Telmisartan has just come to market for cats with hypertension. So there's some really great stuff that we're doing out there with enalapril, benazepril, telmisartan, some of these other drugs that can manage hypertension, which, of course, can contribute to eye disease, kidney disease, brain disease, all those things. So be aware that hypertension is a huge problem.
Is the hypertension caused by just the pets are more obese, heavier, or is it there is something more underlying than that?
It's usually more associated with kidney problems or hyperthyroidism in the cat.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, being obese can always contribute to it, but it's not necessarily the only cause. And these patients that are hypertensive can do very, very well with medication, but realize that your veterinarian is going to have to charge you a fee to take their blood pressure. Mm-hmm. It's not included in the physical exam like it is at our regular doctor's offices for you and I. It takes specialized equipment and a very patient technician to get blood pressure checks on a dog or a cat, especially cats. Because you have to put this little probe on their underside of their foot, put a piece of tape around it, and they really don't like having their foot touched or their leg touched. And as soon as they walk into your office, of course, they're going to be hypertensive because they're nervous. So we have some difficulties in diagnosing hypertension in the dog and cat really easily. So there is usually an additional small fee, like, you know, $15 or $20 to check their blood pressure. But if you're given the option, or if you ask your veterinary technician if they can do that for you, I would certainly encourage you to do so because hypertension is far more common in dogs and cats than we recognize.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, again, another one I would never have thought of. So see, I learn stuff every day.
Well, good.
Okay, let's round out. So we've checked our dogs for these symptoms. We've done these things that are prevention. We have ways to treat canine cognitive dysfunction or cognitive dysfunction syndrome, if we identify it. And is there anything else that people should be on the lookout for on this?
Well, I think if they're gyption, about selegiline or enalapril, because their dog does have some fairly advanced signs of disease, that I think they should bring this up to the discussion with their veterinarian. The product is on the market, both as a generic and as a veterinary product. It's easy to use. It's given once a day, usually in the morning. Side effects are pretty minimal. Of course, they list vomiting and diarrhea, but every single medication ever put on the planet for dogs and cats that are given oral have that as a potential side effect. We see a little of it in the clinical trials that we did. And like I said, we did have 10 dogs in the clinical trial that were on the use of it. It takes about 2 months to see the drug take a full effect. So you shouldn't give up. To be aware of is that with the selegiline, you have to be careful with some of the other SSRI medications, witchazone, tramadol, some of the drugs that our dogs may already be on as they're aging. So you may have to do some adjusting of the list of things that you can give. But the improvement that we saw in the patients that were on selegiline, it was pretty impressive.
Okay. Thank you very much, Marty. Always appreciate your insight on these things and look forward to catching up with you more next time, okay?
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right, crew. One of the things we love here at Pure Dog Talk is your voice. You can leave us a review on iTunes or the Pure Dog Talk Facebook page. And I'll share your reviews on air in the Listener's Voice segment. It's a fun, easy way to share the love and show your support for the voice of purebred dogs. Today's Listener's Voice is from Teresa Sayers on iTunes. Teresa says, I am new to breeding and need all the help I can get. I found this podcast as a recommendation from a Facebook group. I am so glad I did. It's a must for in-depth information on purebred dog breeding. Well, thanks, Teresa. We're glad you can join us and we're glad you found us too. Talk on and keep sharing the love. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our Dog Show Superintendents are the hardworking people who make the Dog Show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the Purebred Dog Fancy. So stop by the Supers desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.